Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Kurt, the playoffs are here. This is what we've been waiting for. We saw a little taste playing games. You were there.
Yes.
L.A. Lakers versus Timberwolves. How'd it go down?
First off, hello, Corey. I have to ask before we get to the fun basketball stuff. How was Ireland?
I know the world is like, you know, before we can get into the NBA playoffs, we have to know about Ireland. It's an interesting place, in Emerald Isle. Like I told you, I've been waiting, I don't know how many years, 8, 9 years.
Yeah.
You know, I took that, you know, little meeting, you know, as a freshman, you're like, oh, what major do I want? I took like 20 meetings with, like, it was like a running joke. I literally met with everyone on campus from like aquatic biology to medieval studies to like Irish language and literature. And I remember that was when the seed was planted. I got to make it to Ireland. And, you know, it was cool. I think the most beautiful part of Ireland is the southern part. Have you, like, because you told me about Dingle. I remember that.
That was really pretty. I think it's going south, though. It's beautiful along the cliffs and along the coast through the south. And the people were, my experience there, and I think I'm not alone with this, is Dublin's a nice, like, I liked Dublin as a city, but like my best experiences were in small towns and little you can't even call them hotels, kind of, I guess now we'd call them Airbnb. Somebody's renting out a few rooms in their place and little bed and breakfasts. And that was like the best experience. So.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And then I went to go visit a basketball nonprofit called Peace Players International. I went to go visit their work in Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Wow.
And that was really interesting because it was the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. So I got to just, you know, look at all the work that's been done since 1998. And it was just really fascinating to see that up close and personal. So, you know, big thank you to everyone from Peace Players. And the work they're doing is incredible. Basically, you know, in a nutshell, what they do is they use sports to promote peace in the world's most challenging conflict areas. So, the issue in Northern Ireland is Catholics and Protestants. So I just kind of understood how these kids, you know, got to see past, you know, those barriers because the neighbors are right next to each other, you know, using the neutral sport of basketball. And it was funny because I kept hearing the neutral sport of basketball, but, you know, there are certain sports that are tied to, you know, like, you know, the Gaelic sports are mostly played by Catholics.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, think about the Protestant sports that would be something like rugby, for instance. So there are certain sports that have really, you know, long histories and tenuous histories, and they mean something there. But basketball, it doesn't mean anything. Like, I only saw like a few basketball courts during my entire time in Ireland. I was like, where are all the basketball courts? And I think that's why that kind of novelty is the perfect vehicle for peace there, which is great.
Yeah, it's what makes Rangers Celtics the big game on the ice. It's the Catholic club and the Irish club. I mean, I'm sorry, Catholic club and the Protestant club going at it and in Ireland. So, all right. That's good to hear. Now I want to go back. So,
yeah, you got to make it back out to the Emerald Isle. Your Easter weekend was good.
Yeah, we just had some family over. It was kind of quiet, and there was basketball games and coaches getting fired during meals. And I'm like, you know, this is great timing. You know, coaches get fired during meals, and you know who I blame? I would just blame Adrian Wojnarowski because he's the guy who pops up and on my Twitter feed. So I blame Woj for ruining meals for me.
Oh man, but you were there at crypto.com or, you know,
so play-in started. I was at the Lakers Timberwolves game that Corey may not be the most beautiful basketball game we've ever seen.
It's also important to note that going into this, you know, Rudy Gobert was suspended, which, by the way, was a very interesting move by the organization, you know, for punching Kyle Anderson, his own teammate, in a huddle after there was a verbal altercation between the two. But for the organization to take that step ahead of the play-in game, which didn't set up this overtime victory for the Lakers, I just think it's important to note.
Yeah, and more importantly, Jaden McDaniels, who's out because he punched a wall, not because he punched a person, but punching a wall and fracturing his hand. And they really missed – his length and defense, he's the guy with the LeBron James assignment. LeBron James had a big game for them. And I think in Minnesota's case, they asked Coach Finch before the game, like, hey, did you guys consider this? Like, and his reaction was, we have standards as an organization. We can't change them because of the situation, or they're not standards. They're not, you know, you can't punch a teammate is a standard thing, I guess, unless you're a Warrior. You can't punch a teammate and not be suspended. So you could tell, though, that they missed the depth. They traveled. They'd had some extra rest. They were a little shorthanded in this game. And you could just tell the way Collins and Towns getting in foul trouble, but also just once they got tired, their offense stagnated. I mean, they didn't score a bucket. Their shot chart in the fourth quarter is ugly. They couldn't generate good looks. The looks they generated hit the front of the rim. You could just tell their legs were gone. The Lakers were not a whole lot better. They're turning the ball over. Anthony Edwards was banged up, had a rough night, was clearly sore and injured from some of the fall he had taken. And just when they came apart, the Lakers, I don't think the Lakers were great. Corey, I don't know how much of this you watched. I did not come out of this game thinking, man, Memphis is in trouble. The Lakers look great. I came out of it thinking, wow, Minnesota really struggled. And the Lakers got by them. So now they advanced to and we'll talk about this more later, a situation where I think they have some matchup advantages. But if they play like they did in this game, they will lose. It was just not pretty at the end, Corey.
I don't think anyone is thinking the Lakers are going to make a run. You know, like, and so I think from my perspective, we go back up a couple of weeks. I was like, you know, how good is this? Like, how far can they really go? The fact that they, you know, clinched the seventh seed, given where they were, you know, I feel like, okay, that's a victory. You know, sell some tickets. it's kind of like you said, yes, they're a matchup advantage. I'd love to hear your thoughts going on, you know, for next series against the Memphis Grizzlies. But for me, that's not the important thing. I think for me, I agree with you. It's more of a disappointment with Minnesota. And, you know, I it's so fascinating. We highlighted this, you know, coming in to this game. I don't know what the organization's thinking. You know, like, I was like, you know, the whole Dreamboat Annie thing I said last week where, yeah, I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Like, you know, come back down from Earth. It seems like you're kind of like, seems like you're kind of daydreaming a little bit. You have some exciting pieces, but you gave an awful lot up for Gobert. And then now, like you know, like you said, players taking themselves out because they punched walls. You know, like, that's very unprofessional. And then just like this, it seems like there's just kind of a reality check happening for Minnesota. And I think this was, I mean, to be beaten by this Lakers team at this moment, I don't find that encouraging.
No, it was really ugly. And the thing is, it looked so good in the first half. Karl Anthony Towns' first half, you're like, wow, he's so good. He's just special when he's playing like this. But once he got in foul trouble and he got tentative, they didn't have another option. Mike Conley, I thought, played well, I guess. I shouldn't say no option. But Anthony Edwards not being able to attack and not being successful when he did, again, 3 of 17 shooting, if he's not number two, then they're in trouble. And Gobert wouldn't have solved that, although he would have given them, you know, the Towns rack up all those fouls on Anthony Davis if Gobert's there to take some of that load. So, and again, McDaniels is their best defender. He wasn't there. But they're just that lack of depth and that organization, and like you talked about with Dreamboat Andy, I just think last week, they've got some hard questions to answer this summer. Whatever happens in the next play-in game, where they will go up against the winner of the Pelicans and Thunder, a game we don't know the outcome of when we speak, Minnesota will go into that at home favored. But whatever comes out of that, you still feel like this is a real disappointment of a season for them to be struggling into the eighth seed after the push all your chips in the middle of the table move for Rudy Gobert.
But yeah, it was once again, Why would you do that? Yeah. You know, now it's easy to kind of dissect that, but you know, we were just very confused. Like,
we did that last summer,
why would you put all your chips on the table for Rudy Gobert at this stage? You know, it didn't really make a lot of sense. And like you talked about before with Karl Anthony Towns, he's an interesting player because there are moments like you mentioned, first half, you know, splendid, but then there are like, I remember watching, and I'm interested in like all like the little things outside of the game too. You look at the marketing materials, and it wasn't even Karl Anthony Towns space on the front for the Minnesota. It was Anthony Edwards. It was Anthony Edwards and LeBron James. And I'm thinking, who? Wait, what? Aren't you the superstar of this team? Like, I feel like that was pretty undisputed. Like, he's the guy. But now, like I said, now it's kind of confusing. Now it's kind of like, is it Anthony Edwards? Is he the future?
I think, and honestly, I think within, if not by next year, within 2 years, this is Anthony Edwards' team. Like, I just
think, which is kind of like shocking. I mean, because it's not like Carl Anthony Towns is not old.
No.
This is why I'm so confused. This is my whole issue. Is like I don't know. And like Kurt, you know, you've been around the game for a long time. If you want to be like, can you think of a great playoff team or even a contender, not even like a championship team, just like a team that can go far in the playoffs? And who, I can't even tell you who their superstar is. Can you think of any teams?
No, the best teams have an established pecking order. Like the Warriors are deep as all get out, right? But
yeah,
it's Curry, then it's Thompson, then it's like it, you, yeah, you know where tell. The pecking order is, and it's and it's it feeds off of that. It's LeBron, and, well, it should be Anthony Davis then LeBron. Last night it was more LeBron than Anthony Davis, and they got away with it just because Minnesota fell apart so much. But by the way, I will say this: based out here in LA, in Los Angeles. And some of the national media, there's a feeling that the Lakers could make a run. I didn't come out of last night thinking that. But in this West, I think it's just partially that on paper you can draw up something good for them. You can see how it gets there. And then you're like, well, they're not afraid of Memphis. They're not afraid of Denver. The Warriors haven't blown anybody's doors off. There's the Suns, but they've been together for less than 10 games with Kevin Durant. Like, there's just holes in every team in the West, so you can project yourself into that space.
So I know we're going to get into, you know, the Western Conference in a little bit, but let's focus on the other play-in game briefly. Hawks Heat. Hawks won. They clinch the seventh seed. Curious to hear your thoughts on that matchup.
Again, a credit to the Hawks, who I think that was what you want to see out of Trae Young, right? I mean, he had 25 points. But he moved the ball. He set up teammates. He wasn't the guy pounding the ball for 20 seconds of the clock, right? Like, their offense moved the ball well. And when that happened, they were able to kind of find their spaces and score against the Heat defense. So I don't want to take anything away from the Hawks. Miami looked bad. Miami just looked – we were under the assumption, I think I was at least under the assumption, all right, home game, playoffs – they don't want to lose this. We're going to see playoff Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler wasn't great. Bam Adebayo was outplayed completely. They looked – their best player was Kyle Lowry. Like, they just – nobody else, none of their core guys stepped up. And, yeah, they get another shot at this. But, like, that was just an unimpressive team that looked, you know – I was talking with Ira Winderman from – who covered the Heat forever the other day. And he's like, they look like they were a team of hubris. Like, oh, we got two games. We're good. Like, we can flip this at any time we want. And that's just that they just did, Corey, they just didn't look like it didn't look or feel like playoff basketball for Miami, did it?
No, but this is also the interesting moment though, because, you know, you think this second chance you mentioned, the number 9 seed Bulls versus number 10 seed Raptors. Let's be completely honest here. Do you think that either one of those teams could beat Miami?
Yeah, actually, I mean, if Miami plays the way they did in this game, yes, absolutely. Toronto gives them some matchup trouble just because of their length with Pascal Siakam and now with Jakob Poeltl in the paint. They're just a tough matchup because of the way they're structured. And the Bulls beat them all three games this year. Like, Chicago is one swept the season series. So I think both of those teams – can create problems for Miami. If I think Miami's better, but they've actually got to play like it, Corey.
I know that's the potential energy versus kinetic energy. That's been the question. We know they're good. We know they're good. And we're just waiting. We're like, okay, wait a second. When are you going to wake up? When are you going to wake up? And you're right. Now it seems like their back's against the walls. And maybe that's what they need, but it's unclear. That game though, for me, it's an interesting moment. We look at the Hawks because of what that team has endured this season.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting to see this kind of, it's not necessarily a jump forward, but I guess if you're the organization, where do you sit after all the internal makeups and changeups you saw? Are you happy with where your team is at right now and your chances to go far?
Not really. I think, look, rumors came out this week that everybody, including Trae Young, would be available this summer. Like, they're looking at a top to bottom, nothing is sacred, we're open to redoing the roster situation, which, A, I think they should, but I think that that was a message sent through them. But I think you also did see some of Quinn Snyder's influence already. There's a little, like we've talked about, there's just, you take over midseason, there's only so much you have time or the ability to tweak. But they take threes now. They willingly take threes, and not just Trae Young. I mean, DeJounte Murray, all these other guys are out there taking threes. Sadiq Bey was a great pickup, by the way. He was fantastic last night. But you saw the ball movement, and you saw the pace better. Like, this was a very slow, methodical, predictable team under Nate McMillan. Quinn's got them running a little more, got them pushing the pace, using some of that athleticism in open space, and they just look like a better version of what they are. I don't think that version's as good as they thought it was internally, but I still think that they're better than they were, and then, you know, we'll see how they tweak this thing over the summer to rework it around Trae or move on from Trae, which I don't know that they're totally willing to do unless they get blown away, but we'll see.
Okay, so now I want to, before we get into all the breakdowns, I want to actually take your attention out of playoff basketball just for a second. I know we're talking about Ireland at the beginning. Now I want to be another detour. I want to tell you about my jukebox. The reason
why I'm excited about this. I was about to do a lead in for this because I am.
What's the lead? I didn't want to take away your thunder. Well, you go ahead.
The lead in was just that we're talking about all these playoff teams. A guy the league would really like to see in the playoffs and isn't there for injuries this year, LaMelo Ball. And frankly, Corey, as basketball fans, LaMelo's just fun to watch. So LaMelo is the focus of this week's Corey's Jude Box, and I wanted to hear how you tie him in.
I really did like that lead, and you're right. I would like to see him. Wouldn't that be amazing? LaMelo Ball in the playoffs, all that excitement around Charlotte. Oh, man. But I think right now, you know, the song, let's just get to it, Afro-Cuban All-Stars, you know, it's, first of all, incredible band.
Yes.
Listen to the music. I love Latin music. The song is, let's see, like, I don't speak Spanish that well, but it's, I like to listen to Spanish music. I can't speak it that well. It's Reconciliación. I think I said that right.
Yes.
Tried to do it with rolling my R's. I always failed that part of Spanish in middle school.
I'm not good at it either, yeah.
But the main point is that I'm really good at listening to the music and dancing to it. But this song, you know, it's about this idea. Well, what does reconciliation mean? If you Google it, you know, because I have my dictionary. I don't know if you knew this, Dominic.
That's not Googling it, by the way. That's a dictionary.
No, but I'm saying, you know, for people who don't have a dictionary, you know, this is like, you know how some books go with you from apartment to apartment, you know?
Yeah.
This is the one that travels with me around the world. I always have my dictionary with me. And it's a fun fact. And the thing about it is reconciliation is the restoration of friendly relations. That's the definition. Now, LaMelo Ball, how many years has he been in the league, Kurt? This is his fourth upcoming.
I was trying to guess. Yeah.
Yeah. He just finished three, which feels like that flew by. Is that just me?
Yes. Absolutely. And
one All-Star, that was last year. Not this year, but last year. That was one All-Star. No playoffs. And we know the script. We know what happens in the NBA. You know, you start comparing yourself to other players, your peers. You know, you do the exit interviews. You start talking to the media. You start posturing. Okay, look, you know, I might be open. I want to win. What about my career? And then as soon as that starts happening – now you have, you know, this idea of Michael Jordan, you know, selling his stake in the Charlotte Hornets. Potentially that could be a new rebuild, you know. So I'm thinking, okay, well, what exactly needs to happen in Charlotte if they want to keep LaMelo Ball? You know, it needs to be the restoration of friendly relations here coming forward. I'm not saying that the relations are broken. I'm just saying the reality is they have not gone to the playoffs. And the reality is that there's going to be a moment where they can think about a complete rebuild moving forward in a different direction, and they'd be free from the past 3 years at some cost. And the reality is that LaMelo Ball, if he really wanted to, a new contract's coming up. So if he wanted to leave, he could, and he could, you know, really put his team in an interesting position moving forward. So I do think that we are in that peak moment of like, okay, we're about to see these relationships either turn, you know, sour, or we're going to see them strengthen, and we'll see a second contract that any, you know, hopefully endures the entirety of that second contract, sort of forcing a way out. And we'll see. So I think that this is the song that is going to set up the stage, you know, going into next season. I think it's going to be a huge season for Charlotte because, I mean, LaMelo Ball, I know he's dealt with injuries, but he's an exciting player to watch, you know, and like, it's just the fact that, so you would buy tickets to watch him play. And not every team has that, you know, not every team has that luxury of having a player that is young, that's exciting to watch, and that could, you know, fill it, especially in a small market, you know, a relatively small market, like Charlotte.
No, I am really curious to see what they do. This is his third year going to his fourth, right?
So next season is fourth. Yeah, he just finished his third.
This is the summer he can get extended. I imagine, to me, he's a no-brainer, Max. In spite of the injuries, not only are you betting on what he's going to be, but you need the guy who fills the building, right? Yeah. Like at the end of the day, this is it's an entertainment business. LaMelo Ball is good for the entertainment business. I'm really curious to see what directions the new owners take this team. This was a team that actually if we were talking a year ago, mm-hmm. they were thinking about the playoffs for this past season, right? Like they were like, we're going to be able, but there's the whole Bridges situation where he's not around the team after his arrest. Then LaMelo gets hurt and it just never clicks after that. Their two best players are now missing in action. And it's just not like they just never come together. Next season could see in whatever structure it gets reformed and hopefully a healthy LaMelo. They're a team that looks poised to make a jump back up the standings, hopefully, because I like seeing LaMelo on my TV.
Yeah, it's fun. But like I said, I think at the end of the day, you got to really start thinking to yourself, okay, you know, how do these young players think about, you know, their careers? And the reality is that you need to win, you know, you need to win. Yeah. And I think that that's kind of, to me, the whole friendly relations coming into this, you know, this summer and going into this next season. It's, if you don't win, then I think we're going to see some additional stress put on the organization, you know. And then at the end of the day too, I think, you know, what happened with Indiana is an interesting kind of comp, just because, like, remember what they had with Oladipo and Sabonis, you know, and there was that kind of, and Malcolm Brogdon too, like there was kind of some questions of, okay, well, you could have had, you know, like a superstar, you know, in theory between any three of those guys. Sabonis ends up going to go be a superstar alongside De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento, and he had, like, you know, that all-star caliber performance in Indiana, but it was really kind of like, you know, another small market team kind of figuring it out, and they ended up just cutting bait and going, right? Yeah. And I think, honestly, that was probably a smart move by them. And now they're trying to build around Haliburton. But the question with, you know, with Charlotte, I think they're in this very similar spot where it's like, what do you do with, you know, the guys you mentioned? They're top two guys, new ownership. You have a pivot point. And a lot of times, like the Wizards, for instance, don't have a pivot point. Bradley Beal just signed a huge deal, you know? So, like, whereas with the Hornets, if you really wanted to move in a different direction,
you could.
And that's kind of, and that's like, so it's kind of exciting. But like I said, so that's why I think this is going to be a really big summer for either the restoration. I'm being positive. So the restoration of friendly relations would mean they got to win, or the souring of relations. And we'll see what happens if they keep losing.
I think part of what decides that direction, by the way, Corey, is what happens in, I forget the date now, mid-May, when the NBA lottery ping pong balls decide where they land. That will also, I mean, they're sixth worst record, somewhere right in there. So they're maybe fourth. I think fourth worst. So they're, you know, that will, wherever they land could impact things long term as well. By the way, how much Afro-Cuban Sound System do you listen to? Because that is a fun band to put on, man.
I listen to them a lot. I listen to, you know, as you know, I love choral music, I love samba music, I love opera, and I love Latin music. Like, I listen to a lot of Afro-Cuban All-Stars. I mean, every day, this morning I was dancing. You know, every day I dance. I love to dance. And every day, so this morning I was making my little pour-over coffee, dancing to my music. So listen to them a lot, Kurt.
Good. Yeah, I like to hear that, so.
Okay, so now let's focus on Kurt's Corner. So we move back into the playoffs after my two lovely detours to Charlotte and to Ireland. So now let's talk about the first round. Give me your preview.
Well, let's start, you know, let's do this. We'll start at the top and work our way down, which In the East, I think, is a little less interesting. Milwaukee is the top seed. They will get the number 8 seed that we don't know as we speak. It will either be the Miami Heat or the Raptors or the Bulls. Do you think one of those teams – first off, no. Do you think any one of those teams has a chance against Milwaukee? And no. Does one of them scare Milwaukee a little more than the others?
Oh, I'm sure one probably is scared. I mean, at this point, like if you're Milwaukee, obviously – honor the opponent, yeah. You know, like all the press release will be that. But I mean, no, this should not affect you.
No, it shouldn't. I think the Raptors might be the biggest problem again, just because Jakob Poeltl in the middle and good, like I mean, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Scotty Barnes, just length, size everywhere. They're just they can be a funky matchup. They haven't shot the ball well, which it turns out matters. But like. I still think they're a bit of a matchup problem. And what about out West? The West is far more interesting for me. Maybe yeah. We'll run through that because Denver doesn't have that aura. Denver doesn't – Milwaukee, we're like, yeah, nobody can bother them.
Yeah, no one can Milwaukee. But you're right. Denver does not.
So among the teams, Minnesota, New Orleans Pelicans, Oklahoma City Thunder, which one of those teams do you least want to face, Corey, if you're Denver?
I think you have to go Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to go there, especially with a healthy – I'm sorry, not excuse me, with Gobert back. Yeah. You know, that's just an interesting – out of a seven-game series, you know, they're the ones that could give you the most potential trouble. But I'm going to actually disagree with you here. I understand that the Denver Nuggets don't necessarily strike awe in anybody, you know. But the reality is that they've been very, very good. And Jokic, obviously, sublime. But the thing that I've been really impressed by is Michael Porter Jr. We all knew he was talented, right? My whole issue with him was play, you know, like you're always injured. But when he plays, I'm telling you, it's just like it's – to be that big, 6'10", 6'11", can shoot like that, it's so amazing to me. I remember when Jokic was out, and I was curious to see how this Denver Nuggets team would play. It was towards, you know, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I just wanted to know, like, can they play without Jokic? Sometimes, you know, especially the slack drops. I think Michael Porter Jr. went off like 25 points by the time the fourth quarter went around, and he had like 17 in the first half, right? And that's the kind of like you need that number three guy who can give you 30 points or 25 points, especially in the playoffs. Yeah. And I think that Denver, I think they're going to roll through whoever, but I think Minnesota gives them, you know, the most challenge.
I'm with you on Minnesota just because they've got the size. They can throw different bodies at Jokic. And nobody's stopping him, but you can make his life a little more difficult with Gobert and Cat. And they've also, with Karl Anthony Towns and with what I'm going to assume is a healthy and better than we looked last night, Anthony Edwards, they have a couple guys who can just win a game. They just have a guy with the athleticism and scoring to really be a problem for a night. So I'm with you. I think Minnesota is the toughest of those matchups. But I got a text from somebody as we were near the end of this last night. I'm trying to write a game, and he's like, maybe, you know, we look at the West and we keep saying anybody can get through this thing, you know, let's look for all these upsets. Maybe the 82 games told us something, that the Lakers aren't as good as we thought, you know, as they've looked better of late. But maybe the reality is the best teams are at the top. And Denver's probably my number two choice to come out of the West. I'm still leaning Phoenix on that.
I disagree. I think the Clippers, that Clippers-Suns, that is, I mean, I think that's interesting. I mean, that to me is like, it could go either way. I think it's going to go L.A. Clippers, man. I'm telling you, when I saw that matchup, that's my eyes lit up. And I just thought, that's the one.
I think the Clippers, I would think they had a real chance if they had Paul George. I think this is the one where you miss the depth to put on, to keep – and defensively put on both Booker and Kawhi Leonard and throw different bodies at them, but also make them work because you've got all these extra scores. Now it's kind of Kawhi and the guys playing off Kawhi. And it's not, you know, Russell Westbrook. I mean, I guess if you trust Russell Westbrook, who's played well with the Clippers. He's fit in. He's also played with the Lakers too.
He also technically played well with the Lakers too, but like, you know.
He's fit in better here than all over. He's fit in better with the Clippers, but I think part of that is the way the roster got changed over when the Lakers traded him. there when he was with the Lakers, he just didn't have enough shooting. In fact, there was chunks of last night where you're like, yeah, this team can't shoot. You kind of forget sometimes. They don't have the depth of shooting. Clippers are loaded with shooters all over the place, and they can trade away Luke Kennard and still have shooting everywhere,
which is amazing.
And that's a huge advantage for Russ, right? Because he knows how to pass. He knows how to play the game. If you collapse on him as he drives, he's going to find open guys who knock. And if they're knocking down shots, they become dangerous. I think the Clippers are an interesting matchup. That is a, like you said, that is a fun first round series. I want to say it's the Suns, but I guess we haven't seen enough of them. We haven't seen them tested. We're about to, Corey. We're about to see a real test.
If I remember game seven, remember that last shot by Kevin Durant? Was his foot on the line? Remember that like a couple years ago?
Yeah. Foot and on the line.
And I remember that series. And I think it kind of reminds me of this, right? Where, I mean, because that team, they didn't really all play together a lot in Brooklyn, and like fun seven game series. But the reality is, you know, I feel like this is the same type of thing where it's just like, yes, it'll be great. It'll be an awesome series, great basketball. But I think the reality is, I think the Clippers are going to win. And it's going to be shocking because I think after everything that Phoenix did, you know what I'm saying? I think after everything that Phoenix did, I think it's going to be like, what? Like, you know, hands up, like, look into heaven and say, like, well, what more can we do? Like, it's, you know, I think we're in store for that, which I think is going
to
be kind of shocking.
I think what's interesting, they gave away a lot of depth to get Kevin Durant. And by the way, you should. Like, you're getting Kevin Leapin' Durant, man. You go make the move. But that the Clippers are deep. The Clippers are not a one-man show, and they've been playing shorthanded forever. They're not thrown off by not having – it's not like they had Paul George for 80 games and then he's gone. Like, Paul George –
Yeah.
So they're used to playing this way. Their depth – so I'm – and Ty Lue's an underrated coach. Not to take – actually, it's a great coaching matchup between Ty Lue and Monty Williams. Smart coaches.
I'm telling you, it's. I think that's the one. That's the one out of all of them that I'm excited for.
We'll stay out west. Memphis and the Lakers. That's a really interesting matchup because Memphis doesn't have Steven Adams is now with his knee issue out for the playoffs. Brandon Clark tore his ACL, so that's your two bigs, your two best bigs, and I think that's what makes this series interesting. The Lakers are just a large team that wants to get it into the paint and pound you physically. LeBron is physical. Anthony Davis is physical. They want to get driving into the paint and make you protect the rim and pack it in. I don't know if Memphis is going to struggle to do that some. They've got Jaren Jackson Jr., who might be Defensive Player of the Year, blocks everything. He's going to have a lot of blocks this series, but you can only do so much as one man, and he tends to get in foul trouble. On the flip side, as much as the Lakers got bigger and more athletic, they are not as athletic as Memphis. And I think that's going to be a fun contrast of a series because you're going to have the high-flying Grizzlies who want to kind of play fast, who want to use that athleticism, and you're going to have the Lakers who want to turn it into a grinding series.
Yeah, I think that's going to where we're see I think that's where we're going to see – I completely agree because in my mind, yeah, LeBron had almost – not almost, but he had 30 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, right?
Yeah.
And it still went to overtime, which, once again, Herculean effort. But we've seen this by this Lakers team. Like, LeBron can do a 30-point double-double, approach that triple-double range, and they still barely eke by. If you're telling me LeBron at this stage in his career, you know, versus a Ja Morant, you know, like, especially in a fast versus, like, slow mentality, I think the younger team that's going to, you know, just going to – outrun this Lakers team. And we talked about this before heading into this matchup. Like, the Lakers have been banged up. LeBron had to get, like, it's almost like some sort of superhero movie. Like, he's like in some iceberg, like, you know, like where I don't know where Superman hangs out, but he's like, you know, getting like
the Fortress of Solitude. Solitude.
That's what I'm saying. He's like, yeah, LeBron's like in the Fortress of Solitude trying to get ready for the playoffs. Like, you know, so my point is that I don't know how many more games they could really play at this clip. And I understand it's great and all that jazz, but I think I'm finally ready. Because, you know, we always talk about how you never really want to count on Steph Curry. You never really want to count on LeBron. And I think I've given them a lot of respect. But I think at this moment, this team, I think they're going to get too tired. I don't know if they can run with these guys for, you know, a seven-game series. I think it's going to
I'm with you. I'm actually picking Memphis. And a lot of it was just based on what I saw last night. That Laker team did not. I did not come out of that thinking, man, that's a team ready to make a run. And I thought that at points during, they had a lot of wins in the second half of the year, but they also had a really soft schedule. And I think when you saw them go up against a depleted but quality team that played hard, it was a problem, and they're about to run into a better one. The other thing I want to happen, Corey, if you've got some contacts, I want to get Shannon Sharp his seats back courtside so he can yell at Dylan Brooks. Let's bring that all back up again. If we're going to have a beef, let's have fun with this beef and have Shannon Sharp and Dylan Brooks going at it again in Staples Center.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Then there's the Battle of Northern California. Draymond Green got what he wanted. Not a lot of travel. Sacramento, it's an hour and a half drive. Sacramento and the Golden State Warriors. I want to pick the Kings, but I don't know if I can, Corey.
Really? I finally, it took me all season long to come around to your camp. I'm going Sacramento here.
I think it's going to be entertaining. I think that the Kings have to have, I guess I just have to see it from them in a playoff setting because obviously we haven't. The building is going to be rocking. I am so excited to watch that first game and just watch how crazy the fans are in Sacramento. I just feel like the Warriors have that. Curry's going to steal one on the road because that's what Curry does.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Kings are going to have to show some defense and some grit, and maybe they have that. I just am selling them short on that. I fear a happy to be there moment, and I know Mike Brown is guarded against that, but I fear a happy to be there moment.
I could see that. I think this Warriors team this year, there was writing on the wall, a premonition early in the season with the whole Draymond Green I'm forgetting it. Wow, I can't.
Jordan Poole, yeah.
Thank you, Jordan Poole. At the very beginning in training camp, like that to me was, okay, this is not how a championship team acts, first and foremost, especially a defending championship team, and not only that, but that team, you know, Steve Kerr, like all the guys are still there, you know, like that's not how a team of that caliber should act. And I think that kind of set the stage. Then they couldn't win on the road for like ever. I know, and now you're thinking, okay, now versus this Kings team, which somehow they did not implode, which to me was the thing. I was like, yeah, we saw Chicago do this, whatever. Great, congrats. You did a great first half of the season. But for them to finish strong over the course of, you know, 82 games, I think to me they've shown more resilience and consistency than the defending champs, and I do think that they're going to win the series. Now, will they go far? I didn't say that. But I do think in this series, I think they're going to beat the Warriors, which could you imagine what that would mean for Sacramento to beat that? I mean, that would be
a lot of fun. It would just be fun. And then you get the winner of that Memphis Lakers series and suddenly who again banged up Memphis or the Lakers. And suddenly you're like, maybe the Kings can make a little run. Like that's the thing about the West. I can talk myself into the Kings on a run. So it's the way that conference shakes out. Out East.
Yeah, this is not that interesting to me. I think this is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, because Atlanta, yeah, it was a quality win. You looked better. They're going to get smoked by Boston, right?
It's unless something crazy happens, you know, like unless we see like a March Madness moment where just like, wait, what? Like UConn versus, you know, unless it's something like where it's like crazy. But yeah, you're right. There's just
no problem is you got to do that four times. It's not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No way.
Yeah, I don't think so. The 3-6 out there.
Sixers.
What's left of the Brooklyn Nets against the Philadelphia 76ers? Again, Philadelphia is going to handle that one pretty easily and move on. The fun one, 4-5 out East. New York Knicks, Cleveland Cavaliers. That's going to be an entertaining series, Corey.
I disagree. I think it's going to be Cleveland. You know, like I'm sorry, Dan. I know our producer Dan loves the Knicks. It's just, I think it's going to be Cleveland. The Cavs are just too good. Yeah. But you know, the Knicks will be fun, and you know, I think it'll be a cool thing. But it's going to be Cleveland.
I think the Knicks, and I noticed I didn't tell Dan in our little talk beforehand about how I voted like no Knicks on the All NBA team, and kind of dissed Jalen Brunson in that voting. I didn't bring it up in front of him. Now Now, now that I've said that publicly, I hope you enjoyed my last week here on PBTA. Dan's going to cut me off. I think they've got a chance. They need Julius Randle healthy. We're still waiting to see where his ankle is. He's got to be back. I think Brunson gives them some stability. I think they can. The challenge is that's a really good – that's the best defense in the league in Cleveland. It is hard to get inside and score on them with Evan Mobley, who is going to get a bunch of Defensive Player of the Year votes, with Jared Allen if he's healthy and back there. And I would pick the Cavaliers too. I think this thing goes – I think they're tight games, but at the end of the day, Cavaliers have the best defense, and the Cavaliers have the best player in the series. It's – with all due respect to Brunson and Randle, Donovan Mitchell's the best player in this
series. Yeah, but I don't think that's I don't think that's like an argument. I know you just said that, but I really don't even think you could even argue that in good conscience that any of those players would be as good as Donovan Mitchell. However, though, this is my issue with Donovan Mitchell is, you know, you got to prove it to me. You know, this is like my whole thing with Damian Lillard. You know, it's like you got to prove it to me. Like Donovan Mitchell, I thought years ago when we saw that Donovan Mitchell versus Jamal Murray. I thought that in the bubble, I was like, this is the moment, the star turn. Yeah. And I just haven't seen it. Then the Utah Jazz got good, but he wasn't able to take them to the next level. Then in Cleveland, now they're good. And now the question is, okay, well, how good are you? You know, like prove it to me. We've seen like Jason Tatum do it. You know, we saw Jimmy Butler do it. Like you got to do it. You got to prove it to me. And I haven't seen that from Donovan Mitchell. I want him to, because it seems like, you know, he seems like he's a good community guy, obviously a great talent, but I just haven't seen him.
I want him to talk a little more smack. I want him to go drop 45 in one of these games and start pointing at Leon Rose like, you could have had me. You could have had me and you blew it.
You really are going out. What happened, Kurt? I mean, I thought this Easter weekend, I thought it was love and gratitude. And you want Shannon Sharp courtside. Now you want this whole spat.
I want some smoke. Yeah, exactly. I need some fire during these playoffs.
You need some vegetables, man. You need some celery or something, some kale.
Should I tell you that I've been eating vegetarian lately? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I need to introduce meat back into the diet. But that wraps it up. I think the East is going to fall. I think the East follows form. I think if there's out West, if there's upsets, it could be in the West. But Corey, Dan's Corner this week is kind of fun.
Yeah. So every single time we do this, we always like to wrap on something fun. And this one is interesting because Dan wanted to introduce this idea in our Mad Libs segment of the Masters. You know, we just saw the Masters, and apparently, you know, like the champion gets to choose the dinner menu, and Scottie Scheffler's dinner menu had cheeseburger sliders. This was the, you know, firecracker shrimp, tortilla soup, and then some steak or black and red fish. And then you end up with the warm chocolate chip skillet cookie with milk and cookies, ice cream. So I'm interested to know, what would be your Masters Club dinner menu?
It's funny because I'm torn. It really depends. There's two types of cuisine I would be debating between, either going Italian in a kind of an Italian way, but frankly, lately, I would probably have a Japanese style.
Whoa. Course.
Like it would.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Start with, like, sushi appetizers in the first course, yakitori, the little grilled meats, whatever. I would work through, and I'd have to get a good Japanese chef to work through this. You know what? I'll tell you one of the best Japanese things I ever had, and I want this to be a course. Everybody hates tofu. Everybody's kind of like, because if you buy store-bought tofu, it's pretty bland. If you've had fresh-made tofu in a really good restaurant where they make it themselves and then serve it with the appropriate salts or sauces, it's revolutionary. It'll change your mind. You'd be like, wow, tofu's really good when done. Like, I can see why people were eating this. So something like that. I would love to get the rather stuffy old white shirts of the Augusta Club some tofu, and we'll just go, like, so I do it. And the only other thing, there would be no chocolate in dessert. I don't know what else is in dessert, but there won't be chocolate. What would yours be, Corey? What are you going to do?
I would have one thing on the menu. Just pizza.
Just pizza. Wow.
like no appetizers. Let's just cut through it. Let's just cut through all the soup and the salad. We don't need that. We don't need dessert. I would just have boxes of pizza. Just like they did in like in high school. Just like they do at every good party ever. Every party that I've ever been to, I've never been like, oh shoot, there's pizza? Oh man, like at weddings, like, oh, no one's like, oh man, like I can't believe you ordered pizza, man. Like out of all the things, no one's ever done that at a bar. Like no one's like, oh wait, like who invited the guy who brought pizza? And no one's like at a birthday party, at a college party. Like it always plays. It plays at like black tie events. It plays at, like the frat house. It plays in high school. It plays in middle school. All ages. Bring the kids. Bring your spouses. Like let's just have pizza. And it should play at Augusta too. So I would only have one thing on the menu, and it would just be pizza.
Are you a New York pizza slob snob? Like, do you need the specific thin
No,
crust?
I mean, look, I'm in love with the game. I don't care what it is. I'm in love with the game. Deep dish, New York. I'll eat it backwards. I'll eat it with a spoon and like a little knife and fork. I'll eat it anyway, anything. I love the game. So I love pizza. So, but I think I would do like no, yeah, that's it. I would just do pizza.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would liven up the event too, because that just goes now you're walking around holding the slice, talking to people, having a beer.
That's what I'm
Like
saying,
somebody's
and like and the one thing I really don't like about and like I said, no specific kind of pizza, not from a specific place, doesn't need to be from Italy, doesn't need to be wood fired. Like let's just make it easy, like literally just like what's open in Augusta. Like,
there a Costco? Is there a
yeah, like
Costco?
let's
I
just
need some
call
Costco
it
pizza out
the
here.
pizza, and they get pizza boxes. And the thing about about pizza is that sometimes the these events they take forever. And I understand it's the Masters. I understand you want to really indulge in this moment. It's your moment. Congratulations. But at the end of the day, like, I kind of need to get back to my hotel room. I got stuff to do. Like, so I love that about pizza because there's no, you don't need to sit down and eat. If you want to just come in, eat a slice or two, and then head out, you can. If you want to linger, maybe have some beer or whatever your drink of choice is, an iced tea, a sweet tea, if you're down in Georgia, you can do that and just hang out. And no one's going to kick you out of a pizza party. But there's no, like, you can just come and go. It's pizza. So that's why I also think pizza would really be nice. Just like, say if you like, go if you like, whatever.
Cool. Well, now Corey, now you've done it to me. I'm having pizza for dinner. I don't know where I'm going.
Look, yeah, we just both have to win. This is easy. You win the Masters first because I think yours is a delicious menu, and then I'll just have to win it every other time.
Yeah.
We can have pizza, and we can have pizza every
How hard is
year.
it to win the Masters? Is it that hard? I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, anyways, I can't wait to follow all the playoff stuff with you. This is gonna be we have the playing games tonight as of this recording, and I cannot wait to see how this all shakes out. But on the Western side, I'm telling you that Warriors Clippers matchup is where my eyes go, and then on the East, I think you're right. I think Cleveland Knicks, Cleveland New York will be interesting. I can't wait to see how it shakes out, Kurt.
I'm excited for these kind of games that matter. And now Corey's called the upset, so now I'm really into this.
Oh man. If you want to know anything else that Kurt and his team are working on, you want to get all the latest up to detail moments as they come out, go to NBCSports.com/NBA. Kurt, see you next week.
Look forward to it.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.